Anybody else here need God? Yeah, we all do. And that song really expresses that. We need Him at all times and in all places and in all ways. And when temptation comes our way, you know, we need Him especially. But our God is faithful. And we need Him. He will show up. And that's just great. You know, it's not, we're not dealing with anything human here. Our God will show up in time of need. So Lord, we thank You for that. That You are always faithful and You will show up and You'll always be there with us and for us. Let's hear more about Him and from Him, more importantly, through the readings.
In the first reading of Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge, for good and evil, for when you eat it, you will certainly die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals. The Lord God had made he say to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We might eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and it also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then both of their eyes were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Reading 2 is from Corinthians 1, chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you think you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Here ends the reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. The tempter came to Him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took Him to the holy city and had Him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," He said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift up you in their hands, so that you'll not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took Him to a very high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. "All this I will give you," He said, "if you will bow down and worship Me." Jesus said to him, "Away from Me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only.'" Then the devil left Him, and angels came and attended Him. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church? Feel free at this time. Lord, thank You for Your word and how it uplifts and sustains us and how we can always find You in it and how You speak through Your living word. Speak to us today. Amen. So, temptation. Is there anybody here who's never been tempted? Okay, so this is something we can all relate to then, right? And not only us, but I would say anybody around the world, anybody throughout history, we can all relate to the subject of temptation. And I don't know, something about temptation is many times we recognize it, don't we? You think, I know better, or I really shouldn't. But, yeah. But we're tempted to do it anyway, and sometimes we fall through on the temptations. Other times we successfully resist it. You know, just put your mind on something else, right? Because our mind will start to dwell on that thing, and it'll start to captivate our thoughts. But turn your thoughts to God, right? Do some worship or something like that, and get your focus off of that and onto God where it belongs, because He must come first at all times. But it's easier said than done, isn't it? If you're trying to give up a bad habit or something like that, and then you try to justify it in so many ways, you know, but I deserve this, or only just this once, or something like that. We try to make it acceptable and right, but no, it's not. And again, we know better. Parents taught you right from wrong. God teaches us right from wrong. It's written on our hearts, right? We recognize the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. And temptation is, it seems, always the evil. You ever been tempted to do good? There's an interesting thought, huh? Okay, God just tempted me to do good instead. And then I can follow through on the temptation and I can do good. I mean, yeah, that's a nice thought. And I don't know, I suppose it could be tempted to do good for someone. You know, to help someone out or, yeah. That's, I don't know, something to think of, something to consider there. All right, so Jesus also faced temptation too because He was human in all respects, in all regards, He was human. And that's how He can identify with us, because He has been there and done that. It's so easier to identify with someone if you've gone through the same thing, isn't it? I mean, the best counselors many times for like someone who's drugs and alcohol, they've been there, they've done it. They've experienced it. And Jesus is the same way. He's been there, He's done that, He's experienced it. So we can turn to Him in times of temptation, and He knows what we're talking about. He's been tempted. The only difference is that He never gave in. Shows us that it's possible, I guess. God will always provide a way out, like we heard from Abby a little bit ago. Okay, so in the gospel today, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. He didn't just sort of wander or stumble into the wilderness by accident. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted. It suggests that this, or says this, had to happen. This was on purpose. Wow, again, if He's going to identify with us, I guess He has to know what it's like to be human. So the Spirit, capital S here, Spirit, Holy Spirit, leads Him into the wilderness with the purpose or the intent of being tempted. And not just tempted a little. Sometimes there's little temptations, right? They're pretty easy to overcome. And you got the big ones, okay? And sometimes they might seem like they're too much. Lord, how can I resist this? How can I find a way? You know, don't lead me into temptation, we pray. But once you're already there, now you got to face it. But you don't fight alone. For God will help you with it as well. And He gives us weapons. He gives us tools to fight against it, as we're going to see here. So, not just a little temptation. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I've never fasted that long. You know, gone multiple days and things like that. A lot of us have. But 40 days and 40 nights, He had to have been hungry, okay? Indeed, it says He was hungry. Three words, yes, all right. And as a result, He was vulnerable. A lot of 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous and the like, they use the acronym HALT. We're vulnerable. HALT when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Those things will compound it. They make us even more vulnerable. And the enemy's just waiting for those opportunistic times, isn't he? When we are sort of hurt or hungry, when we're alone, when we're tired, or when we're angry and we're not thinking right. So after 40 days, he was hungry. And the enemy played on that hunger for the first temptation here. If you are the Son of God, questioning if He is, huh? Tell these stones to become bread. He certainly could have. And He certainly was hungry. But he had another source of food, basically, here. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We can live on God's word, right? Spiritually, for sure. So you use scripture to fight back. And that's an important lesson for us when we are tempted. Turn to this. Know this. Be able to wield it. He's wielding it as a weapon here to fight back. Indeed, Ephesians 6, we have all these defensive things, the full armor of God. We got the breastplate, we got the helmet, we got all the defensive things, but only one offensive thing, and that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So this we can use as a weapon right here. So he used it as a weapon and drove off the attack successfully of the devil. Well, Satan wasn't just happy with that. Tried again. Took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, once again, questioning, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up you up in their hands so that you'll not strike your foot against a stone. This is from Psalm 91, often called the soldier's psalm. And it talks about God's protection in times when we are threatened. So, being Jesus had replied to the scripture, now Satan picks that up and uses it as a weapon. Because this can be used not only for good, but this can be used for evil. Now, that's a serious thought, isn't it? That the word of God can be twisted. It can be used out of context. It can be used partially for evil intent. And, you know, people have throughout history misled people using scripture. And here, the enemy's using Scripture to make Jesus doubt. But Jesus replies to Scripture in the proper context once again. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So he counters with that again. Alrighty. Second try. Devil wasn't done. Came at him again. Took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Everything. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Now, he's trying to give him all these things, you know. Who owns all things? To whom does it all belong? You know, God anyway, right? Okay, he's claiming false ownership of it. He said, I'll give you this. Well, it's already God's anyway. Already. But his requirement there, all this I will give you. And he's playing on our selfishness and the greed that's within each of us, that we want something. We want power. We want control. We want possessions. And this is everything. The whole works, okay? And this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. He hadn't changed. Remember why Satan was kicked out of heaven? He was an angel, right? He was an angel with all the rights and all the responsibilities of an angel. He was an angel, the angel of light, until he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be worshipped. And he hasn't changed. We see it right here. He wants to be worshipped. Does he still want to be worshipped today in various ways and forms? Absolutely. If we turn our worship away from God and onto these other things, guess who's the driving force behind those other things? The one who's trying to take us away from God. The one who's trying to distract us from God. The one who wants to be worshipped. And that will be our enemy. Don't want to give him any credit. Alrighty. He's real. Exists. And works in many devious ways to try to draw us away from God. That's his whole goal. To draw us away from God so that we're going to be eternity with him rather than with God. He doesn't use good means to do it because he is not good. He is pure evil. Again, Jesus responds with the word of God. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is a command. Away from me. It's a direct command. And this time we see that Satan says nothing in return. He just leaves. Jesus commands him to leave, and he does. later on. You read things like, get behind me, Satan. Okay? Yeah. So that's pretty cool. The first two times he tried to sneak his way back in and tempt to mislead Jesus, this time he was commanded to leave and he had to. Didn't have a choice. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, right? He is all powerful. So he left him. And one of the other gospels says left him until a more opportune time. Because we can drive him away successfully, but is he going to try to sneak back and try to get our attention again? Absolutely. Through various means. He's very, very experienced. This goes back to the beginning. Because temptation is nothing new. We had heard about the very beginning of the Bible, chapter 2. We can't go back much further than that. God had created this perfect situation in the Garden of Eden where there's nothing but good. There's nothing but love. There's nothing but God's presence. But this one tree he'd put in the middle, he said, do not eat of that tree. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die. Put the consequence right up front there. Alrighty. You got this whole wonderful, wide earth, the garden, however big it was, to explore and to enjoy and to spend with God. And you only got one job. Don't touch that. Well, sort of that human nature thing, right? All those experiments, psychology experiments, they put a child in a room with some desirable toy or food or whatever on the table and says, okay, don't touch that, you leave the room. Doesn't take long, does it? Yeah, ooh. You're told not to. You know you're not supposed to, but again, that temptation. And here it didn't take long either. God set that up, said just do whatever you want, just don't touch that. And a couple paragraphs later, guess what? Okay, yeah, it happens. It happens. And the tempter, the serpent, or Satan, is there once again. In some sort of animal form, whatever the serpent looked like. Later on, the serpent was cursed to crawl along the ground. You know, so maybe at this point, had arms and legs or feet. Who knows? We don't know. But he was more crafty or subtle than any of the wild animals. And sin is sneaky. Very sneaky, very crafty, very subtle. Again, it hasn't changed. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from the tree in the garden? Did God really say? Made her question God. Still does. Makes us question God. We know what God says. And you'll say, hey, did God really say that or mean that? Or could we, you know, just do it this way and maybe still sort of meet his standards? Yeah. Again, his methods, although there are variations on the theme, let's put it that way. It's the same theme, just different variations. Yeah. So trying to get her to doubt God. And this serpent was able to talk, apparently, too, because it said, you know, did God really say? So that's sort of interesting. Makes me wonder what language they used back then. God must have created a language. We had Adam and Eve, and they didn't grow up learning their letters and their sounds and how to make words and things like that. He had given them a language by which they could communicate. And the serpent used that same language that they could understand. A little sidebar there, but okay. So the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, all these other ones. But God did say, you must not eat the fruit from that one tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. So here we have the added thing, you must not touch it. Before, you can't eat of it. And this touch it, is that something that Adam and Eve came up with to try to protect themselves from eating it, or is it an additional command that God gave that's not recorded here? We don't know. But she did. The serpent worked on her some more. You will not certainly die, said the serpent to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. The same thing that Satan had always dreamed about, being like God. So God had kicked out in the first place, wanting to be like God, wanting to be worshipped, wanting to be all powerful. You'll be like God, knowing good from evil. Up until this point, they didn't have the knowledge of good and evil, which is intriguing to me. What would life be like if we didn't know about good and evil? did evil exist before that? Well, yeah, we had Satan out there. But somehow they didn't know the difference, and now they would, because they sinned. They gave in to the temptation. The woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye. All right, yeah, it looks desirable. You go, ooh, you know, shiny object, but, you know, nice, colorful fruit, whatever kind of fruit it was. It looked good, and temptation does look good to us. And that's one of the tools of the enemy. You know, if that fruit just looked plain old ugly and shriveled and, you know, dying or something like that, that would have been better, I think, right? It wouldn't be so tempting then. But God made it to be that way, pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, again, to be like God. So she took some and ate it, shared it, her eyes are open. Okay, yeah. I guess sooner or later probably would have happened. Might have made it multiple generations of thousands of years and we'd finally get to 2026 and then I'd screw it up for everybody, okay? I don't know. It had to happen probably sooner or later. It didn't take long. That temptation works on us. Each of us are tempted to different things. Maybe in different times of your life, the enemy will switch bait. You know, what used to attract us is dangling in front of us. Doesn't work anymore, so he'll switch to something else and dangle that in front of us. And sooner or later, unfortunately, as humans, we've all given in. I asked earlier, has everybody been tempted? Yeah. Has anybody never given in? Okay, we've all given in too. All right, just making sure. I'm not the only one. All righty. Yeah. And there are consequences. The consequences of sin is death, but here the consequences were straightforward. The serpent had a consequence. It follows that you are cursed are you above all other animals. You'll crawl on your belly, eat dust the whole days of your life, right? To the woman, a consequence. I'll make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you'll give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband. He'll rule over you. A consequence. To Adam, because you did this, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. And to dust you will return, etc. So yeah, as a result of that, we got weeds. Imagine farming if you didn't have weeds. Yeah, okay. So the consequences, once again, very real. The consequences are real. So how do we fight back against this? What's the key? Well, that's what we heard from Abby this morning too. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the people of Corinth. And the first part of this reading, there's only two verses, but the first part was sort of a warning. So if you think you are standing firm, yeah, I think we got it all together. We're standing firm on God and His Word. Be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Again, we've all experienced it. It is common to all. And God is faithful. I love that part. It follows up, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. It might seem like that sometime. This is more than I can take, more than I can handle, God. But no. When you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Love it. He'll provide a way out. Do we always recognize that way out? Do we always prefer that way out? It's a good question. Or do we prefer the temptation to the sin? It's there. There is a way out. And also, it's not that He removes the temptation of the sin. Good. But He'll provide a way out so that you can endure it. It's still there. You're still going to walk it. You're still going to go through it. But again, we don't fight alone. He'll provide a way so that we can endure it. So we praise God that He is faithful, that He is a way maker. He provides that way for us, where we don't have to give in. We have a choice to follow Him or to give in to that sin. Lord, may we follow You. We thank You that You give us a way to endure it, that You walk it with us. Because You are faithful.